Hare Krishna. Welcome, welcome, welcome to one of the most charming holy places in Braj, Ter Kadamba. It's still a little bit cool. It will soon become perfect. We will sing a little bit to arrive at the place. And then Jagatarini Mataji will tell all of us where we have arrived, what is the glories of this place, and give us an orientation. And then we start our japa. And afterwards, our Burijan Prabhu will give us an important discovery lecture with important points. And as you know, today we have surrendered to Vrindavaneshwari, Srimati Radharani. As far as our time is concerned, we have the whole day. There's absolutely no stress, which makes life very pleasant. So let us please start to sing now. This is a raga which we heard is the favorite of Srimati Radharani. It's a little bit complex, but just sing something which sounds like Sachinandan Swami. That is sufficient. That will be accepted. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna,
Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Oh, Krishna, 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 Krishna! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Jaya Rupa Goswami. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Kanaya Lala, Radha Kanaya Lala, Radhe. Radha Kanaya Lala, Radha Kanaya Lala, Radha Kanaya Lala, Radhe.
Hare Krishna. So this extraordinary place, most extraordinary out of this world place, Tirukkadamba. Of course, we're going to hear all about Tirukkadamba from the Baba. He will tell you all about Krishna, Balaram, and all the playful pastimes that go on here. Because Tirukkadamba is actually part of Nandagaon, and it's the area where Krishna would come with his cows. And it's the area also where he would wait for all the cows to assemble before bringing them back into Nandagaon. And Nanda Baba had 9 lakhs of cows. That's a lot of cows. And Krishna knew all of their names. And he would climb up in a kadamba tree. And tear means to call. And he had special beads, Baba will tell you. And he would chant the names of all the cows on his beads. And as he was chanting all the names, the cows would hear their names and they would come running with milk dripping from their bags, milk bags. So in the morning, around about this time, Krishna will come here. So we're very fortunate to be here right now. And if we were so fortunate as to be able to see in this direction quite some distance, you would find that is where Javat is. And Javat is where Srimati Radharani is residing with all her girlfriends, Gopi girlfriends, at the house of Jyotila Devi. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj has built a separate palace for her. So she lives there. And in the early morning, they wake her and bathe her and dress her beautifully, just for the pleasure of Krishna. And by the arrangement of Yasoda Devi, Srimati Radharani goes every day from Javat to Nandagram to cook Krishna's breakfast. Now, sometimes she says to her girlfriends, let's go by the main road, which is like that way and this way, because that way we won't meet with any disturbances. And Lalita Devi, of course, who's very bold, says, no, we will go this way. We will not meet with any disturbances if we go this way. So all the Gopi girls all get themselves ready, and when they're leaving Javat, they cover their heads very, very shyly, because there are so many brahmanas there, so many elderly people there, so many respected personalities, and so the girls are very chaste. The culture is so strict, so they cover themselves up completely so you can't see them, and they very shyly go through the streets of Javat, and as soon as they come to the outskirts, then they flip back their veils and they become very bold and playful, and they laugh and joke and have so much fun because there's nobody to see them. And some of the gopis, they hold Srimati Radharani by the waist because her waist is so delicate and fine that they're thinking she might break. She's like China. So they hold her very carefully. And off they go, and they come towards here. And although they look like just playful young girls, if you've ever seen a Brajavasi girl, if you challenge her, you watch and see her spirit. She will stand up to you, almost like a cobra. She will stand up and look so bold and beautiful, even though she may be a simple street girl. So the gopis come, and they walk along here, and then they see that Shyam is here with all the boys and many, many cows. And so then they get a little bit superficially shy. Of course, they're not shy at all. They're very, very excited to see him. But they act as if they're shy. And they come by here with a little bit of kind of covered boldness. And just as they're walking by, Shyam, he's milking the cows, and he's milking the cows, and milking the cows. And when he sees Srimati Radharani, she covers herself up again to make herself more attractive. Because the more covered you are, the more the person is looking to see, what does she really look like? So she covers herself up. And Krishna, he's milking the cows, very nonchalant, like nothing is happening in his mind. And then when she comes close enough, he turns one of the teats of the cows and he squeezes it very hard. And a squirt of milk goes right in Srimati Radharani's face and down her sari. And she becomes very angry. And all the girls come together and they're very angry. And all the boys laugh. And they walk on and they ignore Krishna, and then they come this way and they walk this way. And the gopi girlfriends are so clever that they hang back behind Radha, so that then they call her, "Oh, Radha!" So she gets a chance to turn around, and oh, there she can see Shyam Sundar again. And Krishna watches, he watches her feet, how beautiful her feet are, the beautiful color of her feet, and the way her skirt goes backwards and forwards. He watches and watches as she goes on towards Nandagam. And then she prepares Krishna's breakfast. Now, in the afternoon also, she went, actually on the way back, when she's coming back, Krishna makes sure he's here. He goes, he leaves the cows, he has his breakfast, he comes back, but he makes sure that he's here whenever Srimati Radharani happens to be passing this way. And so on the way back, she walks past him, and she's all covered up. And just as she gets just close enough so he can see her, underneath her veil, she breaks her necklace so that all the pearls fall on the ground, and she goes, "Oh, my goodness! Oh, no! Oh, my necklace is broken! Oh, dear!" And then she sits down, and very delicately she picks them all up. And Krishna is like, this is like his head spins. He's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. And she picks them up very nicely and she puts them in her bag. And then she, you know, you see the girls, they have their heads covered and they open one little part like this to see. So she just goes like this and she looks at him and she gives him one glance. And he's completely shaken. He doesn't know what to do, can't even speak. Forget the cows, forget everything. He's just stunned at her beauty. And then again, she just turns her back and she marches on towards Javad. But of course, all the way to Javad, she's feeling like, I'm going back to prison. I'm going back to where Krishna isn't. And throughout the day, she's always meditating on Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And when we will meet again. So this is one of the wonderful aspects of Tirukadamba, that Srila Rupa Goswami chose to stay here so he could meditate on these pastimes. And it was he himself who revealed them, and he gave them in sutra form so that we can actually meditate on these pastimes, and they have been elaborated from there. So Tirukadamba is a very esoteric and deep place of meditation on Krishna and the reality of Krishna's pastimes and presence. And by being here today when we're chanting, we'll have the good fortune to touch the atmosphere of this place and to pray to Srila Rupa Goswami himself, who's still doing his bhajan here, that could you please help me so that I can chant and remember Krishna, Radha and Krishna perfectly. Thank you.
When Srila Rupa Goswami would right here, and he wrote the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu Nectar devotion right here. He would write, and when he would write about the meeting of Radha and Krishna, then the trees would blossom. And when he would write about Radha and Krishna separating, the trees would lose their leaves and they would fall to the ground. This place is potent with the mercy of Krishna's Leela and the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Rupa. So let us chant Krishna's names here. In our Sachinandana Maharaj's class, which were very, very powerful and very to the point, If I were asked to summarize my understanding of Maharaj's main points in a sentence or two, I would say that Maharaj was encouraging us to understand that the name of Krishna and Krishna are the same. And when we chant the name, we have such a tendency to disconnect ourselves from the person Krishna, and therefore we don't advance in a way that is satisfying to us. And therefore his suggestion, which is the suggestion of all our acharyas, and of course Srila Prabhupada, is that we awaken our relationship with Krishna by awakening, starting very much with awakening our relationship with the Holy Name. How did I do in my summary?
Very well.
Very good. We must awaken, my dear devotees, we must awaken our relationship with the Holy Name. It's so simple and so obvious, in a sense. I love to do this demonstration because it makes everything so clear. When we're chanting, when I chant in an inattentive, unconnected way, we say that that's actually an offense, pramada. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this is the mother of all offenses. In other words, all offenses come from our inattentiveness to the Holy Name. They proceed from that because we don't have a relationship with the Holy Name, and we're not experiencing the satisfaction that comes from chanting, so naturally we offend. Our mind wanders and we think, and the false ego takes over basically, and we're criticizing this one, defending ourselves. The false ego and the mind, it acts in such predictable ways. It just fluctuates between criticizing everyone in great pride and then criticizing oneself, and back and forth, giving oneself a hard time and then criticizing everyone else, and back and forth. And it stems from basically our Krishna bhule se jeev, forgetting Krishna, we turn our back, bahimukh. Now, this is the example that I find myself giving a lot because it's so graphic that right now I'm going to keep talking but turn my back on you. And there's actually a feeling, an experience that everyone gets when someone turns their back on you. Even you know it's a demonstration. It's so inappropriate. It's so offensive, practically speaking. And that's what we've done to Krishna. And that's what the meaning of offense is. It's insulting. Because Krishna's a name. He's a person. A name and a person. When we insult the name by turning our back on the name consciously, we actually insult Krishna because he's a person whose heart is soft. He withdraws from that naturally, as we all do. When someone insults us, we withdraw our kindness and our affection, and Krishna does the same thing. So the point that Maharaj was stressing, and it was very interesting, I thought, in Maharaj's presentation. He did it especially the first day where were we the first day? Udjagan. And he said, I'm going to be very, very heavy and say something very bitter, but he actually said that heavy and bitter thing in a very light and sweet and pleasing way. And that was that we don't have attachment for Krishna when we're chanting. and we're supposed to. And therefore, it's a simple, we could even say philosophical point, where it becomes heavy and bitter is when we take it personally and say, I'm supposed to have attachment to Krishna, and look how I've been chanting for the last 40 years. And there's a grave, deep problem in my consciousness, in my relationship with Radha and Krishna, in my relationship with Krishna consciousness. And it is very bitter medicine to take if one takes medicine and applies it to everyone else. There's no bitter taste, but when one takes the medicine seriously, after understanding one's own disease, it is very bitter, because one has to taste it oneself. So the point being, again, and I will be saying very much the same things, but in somewhat different ways, is that we want to develop our attachment for the holy name. We want to develop our attachment to Krishna, because prema pumarto mahan, this is what we want. The soul is longing for an awakened relationship with Krishna. We are longing for that. Really inside, distracted as we are, we are crying for that. That is the cause of the emptiness in every conditioned soul's heart. It is that we are crying for Krishna, actually, inside. So prema, which is the goal, it cannot be reached without bhava, number 6. This is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Rupa Goswami has described the different stages. Bhava is prem ankur, the seed of love. It is ecstasy, but it is yet just the seed of what our true position it is. Compared also, Srila Rupa Goswami compares it to the ray of a sun. And this is bhava, compared to the sun of prema, the ray compared to the sun. And bhava, which causes one to be practically speaking a madman in Krishna consciousness, is just a ray of the sun of Krishna. So in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar Devotion, which Srila Rupa Goswami sat here and wrote himself, right here, he explained that Krishna consciousness or bhakti on the level of bhava, it is sudurlabha. It is very rare. Durlabha means rare, but very rare. Sudolabha. And he explains why, and I mentioned this in the introductory class, but it is rare for two reasons. One, specifically because Krishna doesn't give it easily, because by bhakti, Krishna himself is controlled. So one doesn't place oneself under the control of another unless that person is completely trustworthy. And who do we trust in this world? Think of who you actually trust. Some of us, no one. What does that mean? That means we don't trust, because we feel that no one loves us. Trust comes from love. So Krishna doesn't give sudurlabha bhakti, bhava bhakti, easily and cheaply, because it is such a great gift, because it is the seed of prema. And if the seed is taken carefully, it will grow into that which controls him. Krishna Akarshini. Krishna is attracted and controlled. So, without a Shakti, Rupa Goswami is saying in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, without attachment, while we chant, without a Shakti or attachment, then bhakti is so dolabha for that reason, because of the tendency to chant without attachment. So he says, actually, if we perform sadhanas, even he says, if you want karma or jnana, you need attachment to perform the sadhana to get that. Because if you want wealth or if you want great knowledge, it is very difficult. You have to become attached to what you want. And therefore we come to these holy places. Therefore we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore we hear Krishna Katha. So some attachment to Krishna actually develops in our heart. We chant Krishna's names so that attachment develops. It is the cause of attachment and it is the result of chanting. Attachment of chanting Krishna's names. So that verse we also mentioned on the introductory day, that evam vrata sapriya nama kirtya jatanu raga jutta chitta uchai, that if one chants swapriya nama kirtya, if one chants the names of the Lord that are especially dear to one, then what comes from that is jatu. Jatu means born from that, like jati, the family is born. So what is born from that chanting, swapriya nama kirtya, is anurag, which means the same thing, attachment or affection. And then the result of that is when one is eager, because naturally if one is calling someone who one has a relationship with and one wants to be with that person, and that is what a Shakti is, actually. And in a Shakti, it is still considered on the platform of sadhana, while bhava bhakti is considered on the platform of siddha or perfection. So how to make this jump from sadhana to siddha, from ashakti, attachment, what is the subtle difference? In sadhana, we are still under the shelter of maya shakti because we are jivas, we are tiny. And tiny as we are, we need a shelter. We cannot be independent as much as we like to think we are independent. We cannot. It is not possible. It's constitutionally impossible. So in a shakti or attachment, one knows, actually perceives who one is as a soul in relationship to Krishna. It is not general, I love Krishna. No, one perceives his actual identity, who I am. So he can sort of pierce with his perception through the Maya Shakti. And he sees Krishna and his service to Krishna, his seva, his loving service. But he's still on this side. And he can see that side. Like when Krishna, when Balaram, in the Bhagavatam, it describes how Balaram went to Vrindavan. Does anyone know what chapter of the 10th canto that is? I think it is perhaps the 65th. Balaram comes to Vrindavan after being away. So on one hand, because the residents of Vrindavan love Balaram so much, Baladev, he is their life. They are so happy. But because when we say Balaram, we say Krishna Balaram.
when they saw Balaram, even though they were so happy, they became plunged into the greatest separation from Krishna, because that caused them to miss Krishna still more, feel more separation from Krishna. So a shakti is like that. You see Krishna, but in the form of Balaram, and that madness of separation, being in a shakti, being in still tinged, covered by the material energy, and not yet having achieved the shelter of the internal energy, the Nadini Sambit, one goes mad in desire. I need this. I can't live without this. When will Krishna give me his mercy? When? I can't tolerate it anymore. One or two days more, I'm going to die. I can't tolerate it. So close and so far. That attachment, that is attachment. And that evokes Krishna's mercy so much that, all right, my devotee is dying without me. Like the pastime that Maharaj read last night. And that's what carries us. So Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it forces Krishna's mercy to come. He explains that no matter how much sadhana we do, for births and births and births, without attachment, it will not come. Prema will not, bhava will not come, and then without bhava, prema will not come. So, I'd like to read a little of Srila Prabhupada's purport, not the whole purport, to this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When a person is actually advanced, evam vrata sapriya nama kirtya jatanu raga jhuta chitta ucha, he's calling out to Krishna with great eagerness, because this is an advanced stage. This is bhava already, because he's already experiencing Krishna. He takes pleasure in chanting the holy names of the Lord, who is very dear to him. He is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated and chants like a madman. Unmadavan Nrityadi. Nrityadi means he's dancing like a madman. Lokabaya, he doesn't care what people think because he's got Krishna in front of him. And we read also on the introductory day how Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commented that he's seeing Krishna, and there he laughs. He told that little story. He told Jyotila. He told of how Jyotila came and saw Krishna and started chastising him, and Krishna didn't care. Krishna was so naughty in his pastimes at that age of stealing butter and everything. He acted differently with different times he was caught. Sometimes when the people in the Brijbasis, they would be waiting for him to come and steal. And so he would know that they were waiting. He would look for a house that didn't have anyone in it and go and steal that. And he knew that they were waiting to catch him, which was their pleasure to see him. So he would go and open the door so that the calves would get out and run so that the calves would run to their mothers and drink all the milk, and then all the people in the house would come running out. Oh, we have to stop that, otherwise the milk won't. We won't be able to get any milk. And then Krishna would go into the house while they were out getting the calves and steal all the butter that he wanted. And they would come back and they would think, oh, Krishna's so naughty and so intelligent and so... But he didn't always act like that. Sometimes they would catch him and he would beg, he would tremble. He said, please don't tell my mother. I bow down, I touch your feet. I will never steal butter again. And he would could just look with his beautiful lotus eyes. This is Krishna's his happiness, because is to cause the devotee's emotions. This is rasa. Again, we spoke about this. How Krishna is rasraj. He's the expert at causing rasa to develop, and his pastimes are meant for rasa. And the basis of rasa is bhava, the sthai bhava, the relationship is firmly established in the heart. So just imagine the ecstasy of the people who have the house of Krishna. He's begging there, please don't do that. Please don't tell my mother. He falls at their feet. And they, oh, Krishna. They look at his face. But other times he acted in a completely different way. He would go, he would be caught stealing, and he would say, if you tell my parents, I'll come back in the middle of the night with a burning log and put that on the top of your house with its straw roof and burn down your whole house. He was so naughty. And he knew just how to make, to churn the rasa, the ecstatic emotions. And then rasa, bhakti rasamata sindhu, it is a sindhu, it is an ocean of rasa, with the different smaller waves, vyabhacharis, and the, then Krishna would create a tidal wave of this ecstasy. So Prabhupada's purport, so he would laugh. So the person who's experiencing this, when Jyotira chest, he laughs, and then Krishna disappears, and the vision disappears, and then he's a billionaire first, and then he loses everything. Kropati, and then a beggar. Krishna disappears. And what does he do? He starts crying and crying. How can this happen? Then Krishna appears and he begins to dance. So the cause of this type of experience that's being described here is not artificial at all. It is the play of rasa in the heart of an advanced devotee. Here, something from Prabhupada said, because Mahaprabhu quotes this as the result of his chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. He says, Srila Prabhupada says, it is to be understood that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced, he did so by the influence of the pleasure potency of the spiritual world. That's this verse. It is not artificial, but is the true experience of rasa exploding in the heart, not forced. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never considered the holy name of the Lord to be a material vibration. Nor does any pure devotee mistake the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be a material musical manifestation. It is the natural calling out to Krishna from the heart of a soul. Now here is something that Maharaj said in the first day that he said, and it wasn't the main focus of his lecture. But it is so important to understand this, because this is the essential foundational mood that we should adopt while we're chanting. Lord Chaitanya never tried to be the master of the holy name. Rather, he taught us how to be servants of the holy name. So when we chant, we don't even want to hear or to chant for the purpose of having these ecstatic peak experiences and developing rasa so I too can roll on the ground naturally and chant or to remove the misery from my heart. And therefore, when we understand this very essential point, this changing of the heart that has to take place, that from I'm the center to I am a servant in my dealings with the material world, with all the devotees, with the process of Krishna consciousness, with Srila Prabhupada, with the whole world, with the holy name, I am a servant. This is the great turning. Krishna willing, we'll get to this point. This is the great turning that the soul has to make to advance. It's called the platform of Nishta, which is two of before this, a Shakti. Before you can have a Shakti, you have to have taste, Ruchi. And before you can have the taste, you have to decide, who am I? I'm a servant. I've tried so hard in this life, and by my condition in this life, I see that I didn't come here as an innocent person. I saw that I developed specific characteristics, starting from being a child, loves and likes and dislikes.
No, not yet.
I've come in here, in this world, having tried to exploit the material energy for countless births, trying to become the center. This is Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva Nadia Bahimu, turning our back. Atta Eva Mayatari. And the result of that is samsareda dukh, the miseries that I experience and have experienced continuously despite my attempts. So the great turning of the soul is when he just says, Jeev Krishna Das, Avishvas, that I'm a servant. I end up serving anyway. No matter how much I try to be the master, I end up increasing the amount I serve. So let me just really try to think that I am a servant and act in that way and feel the happiness of servant experiences. And therefore, when Prabhupada taught us the first meaning of the first, there are hundreds and hundreds of meanings of the holy name. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami wrote his explanation of the holy name, which is very intimate. It's only the calling of Srimati Radharani for Krishna in separation. He's a Prayojana Charja. Srila Gopal Guru wrote his definition, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada gave us his simple definition that was so deep. Oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, oh Krishna, oh Srimati Radharani, please allow me to serve you. Please allow me to serve you. Let me make the great turning. Please accept me. And from the Nambhajan book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they say that you can think of this while you chant, not of the meaning of the mantra, so we have something to coat the words with a bhavana, with a mood. I am your servant. I'm calling out to you for service. Oh Krishna, oh Srimati Radharani, please, I'm calling to you for service. I'm calling to you for service. I've been in this world with my back turned to you. Even though your vision is on me, my back is turned to you. Please allow me to serve you. I want to change my ways, even though my heart is so contaminated. I need to change my ways by your mercy. Please allow me to serve you. Then a little later, Srila Prabhupada continues, I firmly believe that simply, he's saying, this is Mahaprabhu's mood, that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, I can remove all misconceptions of the material world, all misidentifications that this is me when I look in the mirror when I'm 16. No, when I'm 16, I don't think it's the best usually. I'm usually trying to, you know, make it a little better. And then by the time I'm 20, it gets... We're thinking in a different way, and then by the time we're 60 or 62, we look and instead we think, is this me? How could that be? How could that be that this is me? All false misconceptions are gone, and the real conception Right now, our difficulty is that the material world seems more real than the spiritual world. Misconception. So we come to Braja, we chant Krishna's names in Terakadamba, in the presence of the devotees, in the presence of these very old pilu trees. And previously they used to be kadamba trees, and now Baba has planted more. But by the floods and everything, time is disappearing. Even when we came here the first times, there were so many more pilo trees. We're so fortunate to be here chanting in the presence of these same trees that are so old. They heard the chanting of Srila Rupa Goswami. So here we get a hint that the reality is just the opposite. And Krishna consciousness seems so close. And the material world and your mobile phone rings and you just want to take it. That's so far away. And usually we're in the world, it's the opposite. Krishna consciousness is so real here. What an opportunity to chant and to make it, to coat our consciousness with this sweetness. I believed that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. What does that mean? It means his service. The service of the service, Gopi Bharta Parakamalayo Dasa Dasa. Not the topmost servant, that's Srimati Radharani. But to actually, if we just chant, we can attain the service of the servants, of the servants of... After all, who do you think can please Krishna most? More, me or Srimati Radharani? This vile creature. So if we want to... If Krishna is truly in the center, as Srila Bhaktivinoda teaches, we want to bring Radha and Krishna together for their pleasure. Radha Krishna Pranaya Ladini Shakti. This is Krishna and his energies. And here I want to step right in front. Here I am. Hare Krishna. And therefore Mahaprabhu taught first Trinada Bhisini. You have to understand who you are. We have to understand who we are. And who are we? Insignificant. Ah, as if on call, the mobile phone rings. Once only. And therefore Mahaprabhu taught, Kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. Don't try the other ways. Just take shelter of the holy names. Panchanga Bhakti. In this age of quarrel and disagreement, the chanting of the holy names is the only way to liberation from material clutches. By chanting the holy name, Lord Chaitanya continued, I became almost mad. However, after inquiring from my spiritual master, I have come to the conclusion that instead of striving for achievement, and he says it in a very Vedic way, but we should also think of it in our own private, personal way. Instead of striving for kam, artha, dharma, and moksha, instead of striving to come to satisfy my senses and making that the purpose of my life subtly and grossly, dharma, to be known as a religious, upstanding, right, and everyone say, oh, he's a very, very good devotee, and acting in such a way subtly to get people to think that I'm a good devotee, and artha, subtly wanting to accumulate wealth, because wealth is our shelter. Instead of the lotus feet of Krishna, or liberation, I just can't tolerate the miseries anymore. of life, of old age, of fighting with so many people. I want to be free from that. So Mahaprabhu says no to all those things. No to getting even with that person who just poked me with a dart in my heart by their harsh words or whatever they did. He says, instead of this, Mahaprabhu says, I conclude it is better if somehow or another I develop transcendental love for God. That is the greatest success of life. And one who has attained this, attained love of Godhead, he chants and dances by his nature, by the natural rasa emotion springing up from his pure and loving soft heart, mazrin. The heart, it's either griya sneha or madhu sneha, melted heart. He's chanting and dancing. And this stage, listen to this last line, it's very interesting. And this is that Prabhupada was saying what Mahaprabhu was saying. But here, this is Prabhupada's comment. This stage of life that he's just described is known as Bhagavata Jivan, the life of a devotee. This is the life. And without life, what are we?
Dead.
And how much do I feel life, and how much do I feel like I'm dead? We ask this question, and these very sweet purports become very bitter when we read them, with not applying to the medicine, to the world, but at least to myself. So, this is the advanced stage. And this is the result, the proper result from chanting. Now, I would like to read another comment by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, which describes three interesting things which summarize in one sense the whole process and put things in perspective. This is a comment that he wrote to one of the prayers of the personified Vedas, where the question was asked, how could the material tongue vibrate the Vedas and achieve something spiritual? If it's something's vibrated by the material tongue, it has to be material. How could something material vibrate something spiritual? And then with a material vibration, this is the question Prickett Maharaj asked to Sukadeva Goswami, how could we achieve the highest result from something material? So the answer is, it's a complicated answer, actually. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, at the end of one of his purports here, you have to bear with me with this, but he describes three principles, really. Here's the, and I'll go through them one and one. He first gives a verse. And the verse is from Gopal Tapani Upanishad. The Supreme Lord, appearing in his two-armed form, had divine eyes. That's the first thing that he describes of his form. His divine eyes. And there's a wonderful reason. A complexion, the color of a cloud, a fresh rain cloud. In Braja, during the rainy season, once and only once, I saw the sun, one early morning, I saw the sun behind a fresh rain cloud, and it was effulgent and darkish. Effulgent means light, and darkish means darkish. It was effulgent and darkish. And his garments resembled lightning. Also effulgent. He wore a garland. What does the all-powerful Lord, who is the controller of all wealth, Sadaishwarya Purna, what does he choose to wear? Jewels, pearls, sapphires, rubies? A garland of Vrindavan forest flowers. And his beauty was enhanced by his meditative silence. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this verse. Please listen to what he describes next. In this context, the transcendental intelligence and senses of the Siddha, the perfected devotee, Krishna's, that person, like the verses we just heard, this Evam Vratasa Priyanama, where he's in ecstasy, that Siddha, that perfected person, he can correctly perceive Krishna's pure spiritual beauty. This is what that person sees on that level. It is his realizations, a Siddha's realizations, that are reflected in this Gopal Tapani Upanishad verse in comparisons to Krishna's eyes, body, and clothing, to a lotus, a cloud, and lightning. But now he describes the next level down. That was the first principle, a siddha. Now he describes the sadhaka, the practitioner. A practitioner, a sadhaka, however, for the sadhaka, Sri Krishna's spiritual eyes, body, and clothing are not actually perceivable by his intelligence and senses. They are beyond the curtain of his perceptual ability. The Siddha sees Krishna as he chants. The sadhaka, the practitioner, he cannot actually perceive this. Nevertheless, by reading such verses from the Gopal Tapani verse, the sadhaka thinks of the wonderful beauty of Krishna. He can't really perceive it. He can't penetrate, but he can get a glimpse, and his desires are moving in that direction. And he thinks, oh, how wonderful Krishna's beauty is, like a rain cloud with the sun through it. While the perfected soul, on having sakshat darshan of Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this, that when he sees Krishna actually, he thinks, previously I described you to a rain cloud, and that was a great mistake, because that's of this world. But yet, by the desire of the sadhaka to move in that direction, he's getting something. Concentrating his mind in this way, and that process of concentration is what we're gradually trying to develop, our mind in that, so that the curtain will lift. What will be the result of concentrating on it, his attempt? Whose work is the concentrating? That's the sadhaka's work. That's his attempt. And even though he cannot concentrate perfectly, this is his work, his attempt, his service, to make the endeavor to concentrate. And what is the result of that? Vishwanath says, he gradually becomes joyful, gaining the impressions that he's meditating on the Lord, although he is not fully realized and cannot even meditate steadily, even on the effulgence surrounding Krishna's transcendental body. There is still such a great happiness in the attempt. So we've heard about the siddha from the mouth of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We've heard of the sadhaka and what his part of the work is. But what is Krishna doing during this time, as the devotee is struggling to concentrate and hear one mantra even, or remember the, or look at the holy names written out, or think, oh, this means Krishna, may I serve you? May I serve you, Krishna? Trying to bring some sincerity to a dead heart. What is Krishna doing? Then Vishwanath describes that. Krishna, on the other hand, being moved by the waves of his boundless mercy, thinks, how wonderful that my devotee is meditating on me. wonderful he's attempting. He sees that. He's meditating on it. He sees the good. He's the opposite of me. When I see the devotees, I tend to see their faults. But Krishna, and then when I look at myself, I want to see the good parts. And my mind just goes back and forth between seeing the good and the bad, and the good and the bad, and the extremely only good. I'm so proud, I'm so wonderful. There's one story about someone, a sadhu, says, when I'm brought to the court of Yamaraj, of course a sadhu won't go to the court of Yamaraj. He will type in my name on the computer and press the enter button on the screen. He will look at my whole record. And he will say, when no one was looking, you did this. And I will take out my list of excuses. No, you don't understand. There was a specific reason I did this. And the reason was this person did this to me first, and I did that, and that, and that. And he said, all right. And then he goes to number two. And he said, but you did this, and you did that. And I will pull out my book of excuses. And I would say, there was a reason for that, and there was a reason for that, and there was a reason for that, and there was a reason for that. And then he will look at me and he will say, why were you so proud? And the sadhu answers, when he asks me that, I will have no excuse. But Krishna thinks, oh, how wonderful, my devotee is meditating on me. Then Vishwanath says, when the sadhaka's devotion matures, it takes its time. Krishna will bring that beloved devotee to his feet and engage him in confidential services. Therefore, the conclusion is, the ultimate conclusion is, it's Krishna's mercy. It's Krishna's mercy that's going to be the deciding factor. But now we've heard of what Krishna does. Let's just go back again to what we have to do. And again, we will turn to a very famous pastime and the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur for that pastime. And that is Damodar Leela, where Yasoda Mai, after Krishna had done so much stealing of butter, then all the village ladies felt their great ecstasy by coming to Mother Yasoda and criticizing Krishna and saying, oh, your boy stole this and your boys did that and he did that. He threatened to burn down my house. And Krishna is sitting there with the most innocent smile on his face and with his lotus eyes looking a little bit afraid, but so big and beautiful. And Mother Yasoda looks at him and they say, you should chastise him. And she just looks at him and says, no, my boy is so innocent. He's so sweet. You're prejudiced against him. You always want to get him into trouble. Just look at him sitting there. And Krishna, and they say, well, when he does something to you, then you'll understand. So Krishna did do something to Mother Yasoda. We know that he became angry and he broke the pot, and Mother Yasoda thought it's my duty to chastise him. So she chased him around, and then she brought some help, and she had a stick in her hand, and Krishna became actually afraid. He became actually afraid. Srila Jiva Goswami and our acharyas say this is the astonishment of Kunti Devi, who mentioned this, that this all-powerful Lord, in the presence of Yasoda's Shuddha Vatsalya Bhav, his consciousness was so controlled by her and her love that he actually became, had the consciousness of a fearful little boy who had stolen and was now going to get chastised. I've mentioned this before, but if you ever go to the Sistine Chapel, you'll see so many paintings and carpets, elaborate carpets of the devotee of God like this, and the great effulgence in the corner of the carpet of the painting, and he's like this. But Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is so wonderful. You see, you have just the opposite, that God is the one going like this, and Mother Yasoda is going like this. Who can understand this philosophy without coming to Ter Kadamba in Braja? So then she we know the story well, that she tries to bind him with rope, and it is, and why doesn't Krishna get bound? Because his vibhuti, his opulent shakti, knows that Krishna is afraid. So she comes to protect. The shakti evokes Krishna's unlimited opulence to protect Krishna, so Mother Yasoda can't bind him. And then she gathers more rope, and she can't bind him. And she gathers more rope, and she can't bind him. How much rope will it take to bind this small waist of my darling Krishna? I'm going to gather all the rope in the whole village. And she still can't do it, and she's becoming confused. And then another of Krishna's shaktis, because Krishna's sankalpa, satya sankalpa shakti, becomes first evoked, and I don't want to get punished, because Mother Yasoda's love has made him into a little boy. Then the vibhuti shakti comes and expands the opulence. But then Krishna looks at his mother with all the hard work she's doing, and she's confused, and how is this possible? She's gathered all the rope from the village ladies. And then Krishna's heart melts. My mother is working so hard. And the Kripa Shakti becomes evoked. And then she can bind him. So Krishna's Kripa Shakti, his mercy, is the ultimate factor. But Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that it became evoked because of the parishrama, the hard work of the devotee, of the mother. So we have our part to play in our japa and our attempt to concentrate. The parishrama, our hard work, is to neglect all the things, past, present, future, that the mind will present us with as alternatives to chanting Krishna's names with attachment or hearing, or and just be there with Krishna and his holy names. Place ourselves in the presence of Krishna's names by evoking our ear and our tongue. That is our parishrama, our mission, what we're chanting. So there's a frustration that I saw with Maharaj and also myself. There's so many things we'd like to say and go on and on and on, but this is a japa retreat, not a talking retreat. But just a little more. Because this isn't the end of that pastime. The end of the pastime, because remember when we talked about Lalita Devi and Uchagan, we talked about how she's there for the, she has to be prakar or bama so that the rasa comes. So Krishna is Rasaraj. So he knows how to bring out the ecstasies in his devotees, and that is his pleasure. Because he loves to serve his devotees. This is Krishna's pleasure. He's all merciful, all powerful. How could we surrender to someone who is all powerful but not all merciful? That would be the most frightening thing in the whole world. That's why we find so much terror in the heart about surrendering, because we surrender to those who are more powerful than us, but who have not been, our experience in material existence have not been all merciful. So we turn to Krishna, and that is the fruit, Prabhupada explained in that lecture, of hearing, of reading and studying the books, as we learn that Krishna is all powerful and all merciful. And then he said, we can surrender. Yes. If we can't surrender, it's because we don't trust these two things. You also can't surrender to someone who's merciful, but not all powerful, because they have all good intention, but no ability. So the two are required, all merciful, all powerful, and that is Krishna. So, Krishna doesn't give this bhava bhakti because he becomes controlled by it. He wants to serve his devotees. So that pastime continues with Krishna acting as little boy Rasaraj. That Mother Yasoda finally collected all the ropes from the village, and Krishna's Kripa Shakti allowed her to bind him. And Krishna, she left, and Krishna was just crying and crying, and she put stationed boys all around him and said, don't let him do any more mischief. And Krishna was just crying and crying and crying and rubbing his eyes until his mother was a little out of sight. And then he started laughing and playing again with the boys. But he didn't untie the rope. So he pulled the mortar this way and that way and this way, and he was playing with the boys. They're all laughing at Krishna, what Krishna was doing. He pulled it this way and that way, and he brought it to every house of every lady who had given Mother Yasoda rope to tie him up and stole butter from that house. And then, as we know, he brought it between two great trees, the Jamaladrin trees. And he pulled the mortar, he went between the trees, and he pulled the mortar, and the trees went crashing down. And it was so loud that Srila Jiva Goswami describes that everyone in Gokul at that time became stunned and unconscious. Only the boys, they became stunned, but not unconscious. Because they were stunned, because they were participating in this unlimitedly sweet pastime of Krishna. They were carried away by Krishna's sweetness in this pastime, because Krishna's sweetness doesn't get manifest just by looking at him. It becomes by the pastimes. And then suddenly all the Vrijbasis heard the sound. They were worried, and they came running to this, and they saw Krishna tied up. Of course, in between that time, Nalakruvera and Manigriva came, and they were effulgent. They were released from the curse of Narada, and then they offered their obeisances. They circumambulated Krishna, and then they left. And then Krishna began crying again as soon as he saw the Brijbasis coming, especially when Nanda Maharaj came. And they had seen that Krishna was in trouble with Putana, with Trinavarta, and now the trees had fallen right around Krishna. And there he was, tied up. And Nanda Maharaj saw this, and Krishna was crying and crying in another dangerous situation. And Krishna's crying, and Nanda Maharaj somehow pacified Krishna.
rubbed his head, and Krishna was just holding him and crying. And then finally Nanda Maharaj said, "Who tied you up in this way?" And Chris said, "No, who tied you up?" And Krishna looked around and wouldn't say anything. "Mother tied me up." And Nanda Maharaj became so angry inside, he wouldn't say anything, which is even worse, because then it all stays inside. He wouldn't say anything, and then he was just thinking, "Oh, this less intelligent woman." when it comes up, you know, all kinds of things come out like that. Look what she's done. She's done something so terrible. Oh, yeah, but he didn't say anything. And then he asked the boys, what happened? And they said, "Oh, Krishna was pulling the mortar," the little boys, "and he pulled it between two trees, and he pulled down the two trees, and two effulgent people came out, and they offered their respects to Krishna, and then they circumambulated him, and then they went away, and they flew up into the sky again." He thought, "Oh." And then Yashoda heard what happened, and she felt the anger of Nanda Maharaj from in there, and she felt so bad because of what had happened, that Krishna was in a dangerous position. She just went in her room and just lied down, and Krishna just held on to Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj took him to the house, and he was with Krishna, and Balaram was there, and Mother Yashoda just stayed in her room completely devastated, and Rohini came, and she gathered all the food for the meal for Krishna, and she brought it, and Nanda Maharaj and Krishna and Balaram were happy and eating. And then more time of the day passed, and it was time for Krishna to rest in the afternoon, and Krishna rested on the bed of Nanda Maharaj like that. And Mother Yashoda, and then it was time, the evening came, and Krishna became hungry for milk, and Nanda Maharaj brought Krishna to the cow shed, and he took some, milked the cows himself, and he took some fresh milk and had it heated, and he added misri, just some sugar, to the milk, and fed it to Krishna. And Krishna was so happy, and Nanda Maharaj was so ecstatic, and Mother Yashoda was still in her room, and she wouldn't talk to anyone. And Rohini came forward, said, "Krishna, your mother needs you. Who will you stay with tonight?" "Krishna, I will stay with my father." Nanda Maharaj looked into Krishna's face and floated in ecstasy. Then Rohini called Balaram and said, bring your elder brother, bring your younger brother, because the elder brother is respected. Bring your younger brother to Mother Yashoda." So Balaram went and took Krishna's hand and started bringing him, and Krishna pulled himself away and just went to his father. And Rohini came again and said, "Krishna, how will you eat? How will you drink your milk? My father will feed me milk from the cows, warmed and mixed with sugar." who you play with, Krishna. Krishna, who you play with? I'll play with my father. Nanda Maharaj knew that Krishna's heart was so soft. So he said, Krishna, if you want... No, first, Krishna, Nanda asked, why are you acting like this with Rohini? And Krishna said, she left me all alone, tied up, and did not come and untie me. It is you only, Baba. And then Nanda Maharaj knew Krishna's heart, of course, was soft. Krishna's just generating rasa and rasa, rasa. Nanda Maharaj said, Krishna, if you want, I will beat Yasoda ferociously. And Krishna became frightened and grabbed onto his hand and said, no, no, Baba, don't. And Nanda Maharaj saw that the opening had been made. And then he said, you know that if you don't go to Yasoda, her love for you is so great, she may. And then Krishna started crying, oh, Mama, Mother, Mother, Mother. And she went running, 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 brought her to Mother. And Mother Yasoda, oh, she was lying on the ground. Oh, Krishna, 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 Krishna. But Mother Yasoda didn't come out of her room still for 3 days. Because Nanda Maharaj was still angry. So then Krishna, and she was afraid, so Krishna held on to her sari, and after 3 days of being alone with Mother Yasoda and pacifying her heart, he said, come, Mother. And he pulled her to Mother Yasoda, into Nanda Maharaj. So Krishna's play is so wonderful, so wonderful. So we want to develop a trust for Krishna and understand that he's all powerful and see how he acts. His all mercifulness, his kindness, his mercy is boundless, boundless, boundless. A boundless ocean of mercy. So we do our parishrama, our work, in the sweetest of places, calling for the blessings of Sri Rupa Goswami, and calling out that Krishna allow us to serve him, and allowing and please accept us as his servant. Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Srila Rupa Goswami Pada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Terkanamba Ki Jai.
If you would like to know why the Baba is giving us all sweet rice.
This place no thank you. Outside of Brajmandal and India, thank you. This place very, very sweet. Radhesham, Jai Sri Krishna.
Thank you is a Western word. It doesn't exist here. You don't have to say thank you. You say Radhe, Radhe, or whatever you would like to say in reciprocation with the Baba's gift. So the reason that we take this sweet rice, especially here in Tirukadamba, is because Srila Prabhupada tells this story many times, sometimes with little different details, how Sri Rupa Goswami was living here and his brother, Srila Sanatan Goswami, was living at Pavan Sarovara, which if you go up to Nandagarh on the main road, then you go towards Kamyavan, on the Kamyavan road, you'll come to Pavan Sarovara and Sanatan Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. So one day Sanatan Goswami came here to visit his brother Rupa, and they were sitting together, and Rupa Goswami had in his heart a feeling, I would like to feed him. They were discussing Krishna Katha for hours and hours and hours together, and Sanatan Goswami was absorbed in hearing the pastimes of Krishna, and they were sharing in this way. But this desire was in the heart of Sri Rupa Goswami. So at some time, a beautiful young Kishori came from Nandagal, a beautiful young girl, and she was all dressed very shyly, and she came in with a basket. Baba, she came on her head. Baba, I bought these things from Nandagal. My mother has sent me here with these. And she said, I have some milk and some rice and also some... Yes, here we go. Just like this she came. Very, 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 very shy. And she said, I have some milk, Misty, and chawal.
Big Baba.
Oh, Baba. And he said, oh, thank you very much. And he put it down, and he kept talking. And they went on with their Krishna Katha, and the young girl thought to herself, oh, he's not cooking, or maybe I should cook. So she very quietly sat there and proceeded, and she cooked everything together. Radhe, Radhe. And then when she had cooked everything, she left it very quietly there and she went back to the village. And then Sri Rupa Goswami saw, oh, look, there's some sweet rice here. I can serve my brother. And he was so happy. And so he brought this to his brother and they took. And he offered him the sweet rice, and Sanatan Goswami took the sweet rice, and it tasted so exquisitely like nectar. He couldn't imagine such sweet taste of sweet rice. And he said, where did you get this from? Because they're alone out in the forest. Where did you get this from? And Rupa Goswami said, well, a young Kishori came and she brought the sweet rice, the milk. She brought all the ingredients and then she cooked it. And he realized, that was Srimati Radhika who came herself. And then Srila Prabhupada tells us that Sanatan Goswami looked at his brother and chastised him. And said, Rupa, you have taken service from Radhika. You had a desire in your heart, and she has fulfilled it. Please never, ever do this again. Never. They are our worshipable deities, our everything. Please never take service from her again like this. So this is a very deep and wonderful pastime that takes place here at Tirukadamba, with so much meaning and benefit for us to hear this. Thank you.
So let us take this sweet rice with great happiness.
Yes, with great happiness we should take this sweet rice as a gift of Sri Rupa Goswami to all the devotees who have come here for his darshan.